from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic. We are back.
Kansas City on a Monday morning. We are here with you as this is
Fesco and Dusty rolling along. Executive producer Mac Morey.
Mac had his fiance in town this weekend. Oh, we didn't hear from Mac all weekend. Woo! Ah, he had himself a good time with the fiance.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is my fiance. Did you take her around? You show her all the sights of Kansas City and tell her that this is the place to be and it's better than Nashville and it always will be?
Way better than Nashville and you need to get your butt over
That's
here.
That's exactly right. Where'd you take her this weekend? What did you do to impress her this weekend? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, great.
But people need to know you're trying to recruit your fiance to come to Kansas City and live with you. So what did you do to try to recruit her here? Did you take her out with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely. Yep. Showed her Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift.
Cool,
yeah,
cool,
convinced
cool,
her.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, so
nice.
We went over to Rock Hill Grill, that area. Walked
Sweet.
Around to the Ferris wheel in Kansas City.
Did you ride it?
Yep. Rode
did
it.
Did the bolt stay
did
on?
The pump, yep,
good.
Yep, all
good.
Good.
Okay,
we're
good.
Yep,
Ferris wheel scare the hell out of me. The one in Shields, not going to get on that thing ever again. Scares the hell out of me.
No, I made Hannah do a lot of things. I mean, because Worlds of Fun, we went to Worlds of Fun on Saturday, so she rode all the rides that I wanted her to ride, even the ones that the Timberwolf, which has been
How
around.
How were the lines on Saturday?
We didn't do the Fast Pass until the very first ride. The very first ride, we're like, yeah, let's get the Fast Pass.
Okay, you did.
And then we
did,
and it was fine after that. It was great. And then went to the plaza and did Prairie Village and kind of just drove around, looked at all the nice houses over there.
Nice.
And,
good job out of you. Yeah, you show her Mission Hills and say, this is where we will live when you get over here and move into to Kansas City. So, no, it's sometimes it's fun, Dusty, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well. Like, you're just a tourist in your own town. You know, you forget to do the things that are here. My grandfather was a garbage man in New York City for his entire career and never, like, went to the Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, World Trade Center. And I used to say, why don't you go to this stuff? He goes, I see it every day. I'm like, okay, fair enough. So you don't experience your own town, right? Like, I guarantee you the majority of people in this town have never been to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum or the 18th and Vine District. You got to get down there. World War One Museum. You got to get to the World War One Museum. It's an amazing place. And so good for you. And hopefully the tour of Kansas City worked and she's deciding to move here sooner rather than later. Did you let the air out of her tires so she doesn't drive away?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what
right.
I would do.
I've got till tomorrow to do that. Yeah. So yeah, getting right on that. Did the Nelson as well.
Oh, good. All right.
Shuttlecocks.
Yeah, so the shuttlecocks.
Yep,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. It was great.
Fastball drilled deep to left field. Steer turns around. Second deck home run, Bobby Witt Jr. A not-so-secret secret weapon.
I'll tell you what I did this weekend.
Went to the pool?
Threw the panic button away. They're back.
Oh, baby. You threw the panic button away. Look at you.
Yes.
You were riding that wave, my man.
Threw it away.
Pulling it out, throwing it away, pulling it out, throwing it away.
You can do that whenever you have a series like that.
That was a good one, right?
Cincinnati was not the White Sox. They were not the Detroit Tigers. They were not a bad team. They just got absolutely obliterated by a team like the Royals.
That was good. That was get it out of your system, man.
That was a very much so get it out of your system game. That was a weekend where we said on Friday, we won 2 out of 3. Don't let a team that's 60-61 kind of fool you with the record. They're better than they give out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, you said their pitchers all have a sub-4 ERA.
They did.
So we're just defending ourselves when people go, Cincinnati's a bad team. No, no, no.
No, they're not.
Friday, we had said that they were a decent team. Their record was one game below 500 in a division where there was only the Brewers. I get it. But they're a team that's still got to play like the Royals do. They got to play the Yankees. They had to play the Dodgers. They got to play San Diego. They got to play Milwaukee a lot. And you outscored that team 28-3 over the weekend.
Yeah.
You
that was
absolutely
a
beat that team down. Yep. And well, so because what a weekend it was for the Royals. Not only did they sweep the Cincinnati Reds on the road, not only did they have a run differential of +25.
Where Kyle Shanahan was scared of that score, 28-3. He was freaking out.
And then you're now 3 up on Boston.
Yeah.
You're 3 back from your division lead. You're, 2 games behind Minnesota. And I'm not going to be super, fan base. Actually, you know what? I will be. There are now only 4 teams in the playoff picture outside of the Yankees and the South, or in the AFC West, or not the AFC West, the AL West. We know who was going to win that division. We know who's going to win the Central. It's going to be the Cleveland Indians or the Guardians, the Royals or the Twins. And we know the Yankees or the Orioles are going to win the East, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Houston probably going to win that division. That's a lock. I can go ahead and tell you that they're probably going to win that division.
Mariners can't score runs.
They're out. The Mariners are out.
Can't score runs.
The Mariners are out because they're 5.5, I think, out of the wild card spot.
I don't like Houston winning that division, man. Where the hell they came from all of a sudden,
it's
right?
It's not a tough division, right? Texas folded. They were on a hangover.
Yeah.
Oakland, come on. They're moving to Vegas and they're getting ready to play in a high school stadium next year.
Yeah.
Right. And then Seattle, they blanked the bet on the way out. Boston, hanging around, but they're giving you a little bit of room. And now it really is the hottest playoff ticket, at least in my mind, after this week and seeing the Royals sweep, seeing what they can do and what they've done. It's now we're all watching the AL. Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City, Boston, you can hang around for the show, but the big action is those 3 in the Central because it's the Yankees, the Orioles are winning that division. The other ones win a wild card. And that AL Central, Bob, is just absolutely electric going into Monday night where you're now starting a series against a team that you should probably win.
You should smoke these guys, right, too. These guys suck. The Anaheim Angels are a bad baseball team. But you know what? I really, I tip of the cap to Vern because he says, we're not talking about wild card. We're talking about division. And he was saying that, a week ago or even 2 weeks ago when it didn't look like the division had an opportunity to be won because Cleveland was starting to run away with this thing and the Royals weren't. But you go in there and you sweep Cincinnati. You blew out the Jets. You did exactly what you had to do. The starting pitching was great. Defensively, they played good. Offensively, they were really good, obviously. Timely hitting. Actually, the play of the weekend, though, goes to Ellie De La Cruz for tagging out MJ Melendez. I've never seen a play like that in my entire life. That guy's special, man. Can he play for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Can we get him as a wide receiver? He's the best athlete on the field.
He's basically Xavier Worthy.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a little bit taller, but same speed. I bet if they ran a 40, I'd like to see it.
To see that one? Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
That would be a good foot race. Yeah.
Who wins
around the bases, though? I mean, De La Cruz.
Because Worthy's probably
does.
Never ran the diamond.
Never run it.
But
yeah.
Who runs from end zone to end zone? Who wins?
I don't know.
I'd sit in the lawn chair with a cooler next to it and be like, can you guys do that again?
Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. Best 9 out of 10, or whatever you want to do. But no.
Freakish athlete. Is there? They'd be like, you sure just 10?
Yeah, it was crazy, though. De La Cruz is an athlete, man. Yeah. That guy's, I've never seen a play like that at third base. That was just wild.
Right.
A 6 unassisted tag out of a guy who rounded third, but the Royals did everything that they needed to do in that game. They hit home runs. Blanco was obviously huge. Mm-hmm. Vinny is hitting the ball well with, 30 RBI since the All-Star break, and that's the most in Major League Baseball. Bobby continues to do his thing. Up and down the lineup, they were really good. That was a perfect series for the Royals. The bullpen had a couple of little ups and downs, but Ursa was really good when he needed to be. I mean, where would we be without that guy? Probably not even in the playoff conversation if they don't go out and get, you know, Ursegg, because he's been just, I mean, he's nuts. He's crazy.
Yeah,
he's sick, whatever.
The plums he showed on Sunday.
I mean, yesterday.
With the bases
loaded. My God.
Because I was over at a buddy's house and one of the guy's kids was in there and he's, you know, average, you know, 13-year-old fan.
Yeah.
He's like, who's this guy? I was like, Ursegg.
So that's my wife said to me last night. She goes, who's this E-R-C-E-G?
Yeah. You're like, just you wait, honey.
You know, he's pretty good, right?
Like, no, but he came in and I was like, this is the guy that's supposed to be this kind of guy in the situation. He's like, situation's like, bases loaded, one out, three-run lead. This guy hitting is one of the best players in baseball. You know, Ayla De La Cruz looks at a fastball, height done.
Yeah.
Next guy comes up, strike three, height done.
Right.
Inning over.
Done.
I was like, that's game.
That's game. Yeah. And then he came back out and pitched the next inning, too, which is remarkable in baseball terms today.
To Bob?
They are. But they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. I'm sure there was some nerd holed up in their mom's basement complaining that Ursegg pitched in that situation and we need him for the ninth. We don't get to the ninth inning if Ursegg doesn't pitch in that situation yesterday, right?
Dude.
We probably don't. If they leave in that Seth Long or whoever that guy was, or Lugo or whatever that guy's name was who came
Long.
In. Long, yeah. But is it Seth Long or Steve Long or
sure.
I don't know what his
I think
name
it's
is.
Richard
Long. If they leave him in the game, the doors
Sam.
Get blown open by Cincinnati,
yep.
and they don't have an opportunity to bring in Ursegg. So that's what you do in those situations. Ursegg is your fireman, and that's the way you have to look at him right now. He comes in those situations like guys did back in the day, and maybe he pitches more than a third of an inning or two-thirds of an inning, and we saw that yesterday. That was a big, big, big performance by him yesterday. I love the way the Q managed him yesterday, and I love the way that this team fought in Cincinnati, and they took care of a team that was an under 500 team, but right around 500 with some good starting pitching, and they beat him into oblivion. And now you come home and you face the Anaheim Angels, and the Angels got in late last night, and they're not a good baseball team, so they're probably not going to be excited to get out there and play a game, you know, today, and so the Royals got to take advantage of that as well. You know, you got Anaheim in here. Because after this series, Dustman, this is where it all starts to get a little wanky and starts to get a little crazy, because after this game, you got a day off on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs final preseason game, huge day. Just a big-time game on Thursday. Final preseason game to dot the I's and cross the T's. Everybody be dialed in. And then Friday, you start that series with Philadelphia. Then you have seven games against the Phillies and the Guardians in back-to-back series. So take
Sign
a deep breath for the next 4 days, because this weekend and next week is going to be Mr. Toad's wild ride for the Royals, and a lot will be determined in about 10 days.
Did not get that reference.
You never went to Disney World and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Nope.
Yeah. You never went to Disney?
I did, but the Florida one?
Yeah.
I also didn't get the reference of Fiancé, how you were saying it.
Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that episode.
Yeah.
Fiancé.
It's one of the early seasons. If you missed season one of Seinfeld, you didn't miss anything.
I've thought about going back.
Part of season two sucks.
I've thought about going back and watching all of them, because it's on Netflix, and like, I get to the point, I'm sure you get to this point too, and maybe Mac does, or maybe the listener, where like, what am I going to watch? What am I going to watch? And like 10 minutes later, you're like, I'm still scrolling.
Right.
Like, and I just turn it off, go right back to like Spectrum, which is what we have. And I'm like, I'll just like watch South Park.
I end up the same way. It's always Seinfeld for me.
Okay,
yeah.
So I figured
it's always Seinfeld.
I guess I could probably go back and
but
start
you're going
to
watch season one and two, like, and you're going to go, oh, this sucks, because it doesn't really get moving till season three. But, you know, I would say skip season one. We'll ask Vern. He's a Seinfeld head as well, so I don't know if he would suggest skipping season one. I think most Seinfeld fans would suggest season one, but then again, you probably have some, you know, Seinfeld savant in their mother's basement, because you can't skip season one because it really sets up a joke in season four.
So interesting stat as we wrap up the weekend series. It was fantastic for the Royals. Not only did they sweep, they dominated.
Dominate.
I mean, 28-3 is what we said. They're three games out of their division. They're one game behind Minnesota. This is
Minnesota. I was watching the end of that game yesterday too. They
blew it.
They blew it. They blew it in the 10th. Yeah.
They have a 3.5 game above Boston in the wild card spot, 5.5 above the Seattle Mariners. And Bob, don't look now, but the best record in baseball belongs to the Baltimore Orioles, who are 73-62. Your Kansas City Royals are 69-55.
Yeah, it's not far off from that. It's crazy.
The entire lead of baseball. So when we tell you that this is a wild ride,
this is exactly what we mean, because this is insane. They're four games away from the best record in the American League. They're three games out of their division, and they're only one game behind Minnesota. Buckle up.
Who knew the American League Central would be an interesting division, right?
It's all I'm watching.
One of the best teams in baseball is in third place in the division. I mean, it's wild.
There's something wrong with the TV, or is that the dome in the Houston Stadium?
See what I'm telling you? That's stupid. Is that not the worst field display maybe you've ever seen?
Not
like,
good.
People are concerned about the surface. If you saw any of the Houston Texan Giant game this weekend, which if you did, I feel sorry for you, because I watched a little of it because some are sicker than others. But there's like a 5-yard swath of just sun where you can't see anything
it's
on the
landing
field.
Landing strip.
Stupid.
Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator. Find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. It was a big weekend for the Royals. There was also some stuff that happened in the Chiefs game we addressed, but when we come back, I want to tell you why I think the AL Central is scared to death of Kansas City. It's because of two players. One we knew, one we found out very quickly about this weekend. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Breaking ball hit high in the air, deep to left field. Steer turns around, watches it fly. It's Dairon Blanco's first career grand slam. He breaks the ball game open. A two-run homer in the second, and now a grand slam in the third. And the Royals lead 9-0 in Cincinnati. Fastball drilled, high in the air, deep to center field. Did he do it again? You bet he did. Dairon Blanco hits another home run. A 413-foot shot onto the berm in center. There's some magic in that yellow crayon bat. Dairon Blanco extends the Royals' lead to 3-0
A yellow
with his
what
third
bat?
Home run in the last 2 days.
Yellow what bat?
In that yellow crayon bat.
Crayon?
In that yellow crayon bat.
What the hell does that mean?
So before we get into Dairon Blanco and Bobby Witt Jr., welcome back into Fesco and Dusty in the Morning with executive producer Mac Morey. I've been told by many people, bosses, to really get your attention in 30 seconds, but I need everyone's attention here because this is a this really was interesting when I heard this.
In that yellow crayon bat.
Is it crayon or a crayon?
Well, it's a crayon. I've never heard the term crayon bat before. Crayon is like that berry that you turn into juice with, like crayon raspberry or crayon apple or crayon orange.
Because a lot of people used to say, hey, can I get some different colored crayons?
Crayons, yeah.
And then some people call them crowns, and some people call them crayons.
I've never heard crayons before either.
Crayon.
Yeah, crayon or it's a crayon. It's
because we're back to school in Missouri.
Yep,
we're
everybody's back now. Yep.
So if you're like a kid, right, hypothetically, you go up to your parents. What's on the checklist? Well, I need a couple of binders.
Right.
I need a couple of folders. I need some, I need some postcard or, I need some note cards. And I need an assorted box of crayons.
Crayons. It says right on the box, Crayola crayons, C-R-A-Y-O-N-S.
So Max on the other side. See, there's always
crayons.
One.
Crayons.
Crayons.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Me and my fiance and friends did this weekend. We talked about this.
In that yellow crayon bat.
I've never heard a crayon bat before. I don't know what that means.
I'm not saying Jake's wrong.
I'm saying that. I mean, just doesn't.
In that yellow crayon bat.
Here's how to pronounce it according to Google.
Oh, you got it?
Crayons.
Okay.
There it is. That's according to Google pronunciation.
Crayons.
They really got their voice right with Google.
Crayons.
Yeah. There you go. Crayons.
Huh.
In that yellow crayon bat.
Nope.
Anyways, draw it back in.
According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the proper pronunciation of crayon is in two syllables, crayon. However, variations in pronunciation may occur due to individual and regional dialects.
There you go.
It's important to note that crayon is a generic term, while Crayola is our company name brand. Hmm. So that comes from the
Webster.
Yeah.
Webster's Richard. Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of articles about the right way to say crayon.
That's the discussion we had at the pool. I don't know if it was because there was like ayahuasca going around or if it was because we were just mesmerized that there was different ways to say it.
Yeah.
Because we were on the radio. Somebody brought it up. It was like, yeah, kind of interested. Is it crayon? Crown? Crayons?
Well, they went to Facebook. Some news station in Arkansas went to Facebook to get information on how to press. So, you know, that's the right way to do business. No, it's crayon. I mean, anything else to me would be uncivilized. But I don't, I mean, to me, crayons, I don't know what that means.
Did the Royals, like, did the baseball gods do them a favor over the weekend and, like, let us be introduced to Dairon Blanco? Because the guy's shown, like, flashes, right?
Yeah, he was great. Like, what, 3 home runs this weekend?
Yeah. One was a grand slam.
Yep.
And
he had more RBIs in one swing than the Reds did all weekend.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And he had 3 different colored crayon bats.
Cool.
Right? He had a blue, I think, a yellow, and a green.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a home run with all 3 of them.
There you go.
But it did seem kind of like, okay, maybe, you know, back in the, you know, in the dugout, Cotuero's going, all right, now we got another guy that can do kind of what the other guy does, and he's pretty good at it, and maybe there's a chance that this is one of those players that you kind of always see towards the end of seasons. Hopefully now, I don't know if it is, but you pray the baseball gods finally did the Royals a favor, whereas we've seen this before with, like, do you remember when Yordan Alvarez came on the scene for Houston? You're like,
yeah,
oh,
sure.
Great, they had him too.
Right.
Right? You're like, okay, where did this guy come from? And again, I'm not saying that Dairon Blanco is Yordan Alvarez, but I'm saying that there is a glimpse that maybe his style of play and the confidence he's having couldn't have come at a better time, because now you've got someone else to add to that lineup that's not Pasquantino, that's not Bobby Witt Jr., that's not Salvador Perez, and now you're taking a 3-headed monster of a rotation to the playoffs, as well as maybe a 4 or 5 deep lineup with guys that can absolutely rake.
Well, you need guys to start to step up, and I mean, that's what happens over the course of a season, right? Guys at the beginning of the season do well. Some guys don't start getting hot until late in the season. That's why you don't want to trade everybody on your roster if they're not playing well in April, because sometimes it takes, you know, dudes a little bit of time to kind of heat up and get going and moving in the right direction. But as far as I'm concerned with Blanco, he's in the lineup till he proves that he can't be in the lineup anymore, right? Like, you got to roll him out there every single day with the opportunity that he presented with everybody over the weekend. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, he was the best offensive player in the lineup for the Royals over the last 3 days. So he's in the lineup for me until he stops hitting. And so he better be out there today. And Q's got to ride that hot hand. It's such a baseball thing right now, right? To see a guy like this kind of come on. And then you got to stick with him for as long as you possibly can until he proves that he doesn't need to be sticking with anymore. And so until he cools off and until he stops hitting jacks and bombs and driving in runs, Blanco, for my money, is going to be in this lineup. And it's nice to have somebody kind of step up a little bit when you kind of need that bat right now. You're looking around going, who's going to be that extra bat? Who's going to be that guy? Is it going to be MJ Melendez? Maybe it's Blanco. Maybe it's Massey. Maybe it's whoever, you know, maybe it's Garcia. You needed somebody to step up, and that guy had a big weekend, man. So as far as I'm concerned, that cat's in the lineup until he can't hit anymore.
Yeah, he pinch ran for Frazier in game one, and then we may never see Frazier ever again.
Yeah, probably not.
Which I don't know if anybody's mad about that, but game two, he goes 3 for 5 with 7 RBIs, 2 home runs. Pretty good. Follows it up on Sunday.
Big home run yesterday.
Hits another big home
run. Kind of broke
yesterday.
That game open a little bit
goes
yesterday.
Goes 2 for 3, hits another homer, has another bomb. Pretty big showing, and that's one of those things that when you play this time of year in these type of games and you play like that, that gets your coach's attention very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's something that, in my opinion, is great to see. And the other thing that I want to bring up, and I had this sort of Saturday morning thought process before we went and did the golf with the producers. Fun outing. Played terrible, dude. Swope Park, though, fun, beautiful, but very dangerous and very hard. But I had this thought, Bob, before I left. I want to get your opinion on it. And I want to ask Vern about this today, too, when we talk to him. If we're not in Bobby Witt's, like, start of his prime, we're still pre-prime Bobby Witt, it made me think of, like, the other guy across the parking lot, right? And I know that we do this a lot, but I always try to tell myself, what is a creative way to have the same conversation about what we already know, which is the obvious, two of the best athletes and two of the biggest sports play in the same parking lot? It still blows my mind. But, like, has Mahomes hit his prime?
Oh, God, opinion? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When
did he
hit that, 2020?
Oh, no.
2019?
I think that first game. Like, I think he came out in his prime.
Like, you're dead-ass
right?
serious.
Yeah.
You think his first...
Yeah, I do.
This is your serious take.
Yeah, no. I think from that first game, like, he's been in his prime ever since he stepped foot on this field. I mean, there's never been a moment that's been too big for him. There's never been a moment where he's really failed. It's very rare. Like, they usually say in sports, anybody will tell you the prime is, like, from 25 to 28 years old. That's when people say your prime is, and then you get over 28 and you start to... down the line, right? But there are certain athletes who, you know, kind of skew everything. Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. I mean, 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in his first year and going to an AFC championship game. That's your prime. He started his prime the minute he stepped on the field, and his prime is probably going to end when it looks like it ends. Like, we'll know when his prime ends. If it starts, maybe it will never end. I don't know. I don't know that Tom Brady's prime really ever truly ended, maybe until that last year, you know, down in Tampa where they were just about 500. But no, I think Mahomes has been in his prime since the minute he came out of the womb, you know, there on that soccer field in Los Angeles against the Chargers. And so to me, yeah, he's been in his prime for a while. I think Bobby Witt's entering his prime right now. I think we're seeing the beginning of Bobby Witt's kind of prime years in Major League Baseball. He didn't obviously have it his first year, second year, but now we're clearly seeing Bobby Witt is now entering into that prime of his career.
This year, as of right now, which this is still insane to me, I already know that I've already like kind of can see that Judge is going to win the MVP because of the obvious. He's a New York Yankee, the power numbers, whatever. Right. But Bobby Witt Jr. with a .350 batting average with 25 home runs, 173 hits.
Yeah, it's nuts.
25 doubles, slugging .617, has OPS of 1,018, which is insane.
Yeah.
25 stolen bases. So, again, I understand that Aaron Judge is who he is. But Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have 30 home runs. He might hit .350. He's going to have over 120 runs, which is going to smash the lead in baseball. He's going to have over 100 RBI, and he's going to have over 30 stolen bases. Plus, you add the triples and the doubles. And the thing that's scary to me is I don't necessarily think that he's hit his prime yet.
Yeah, I think he's entering his prime right now. And it's everybody's, you know, determination when they want to say somebody's entering their prime or they're in their prime. But, I mean, those numbers right there say, yeah, he's entering his prime of his career. You just, you know, you look at Bobby Witt and you're like, is this just the beginning of what's to come? I mean, you know, because these numbers are going to be hard to duplicate. Like, going into next season, that pressure is going to be immense. You know, on Bobby Witt Jr., he should be the front runner for the MVP next year. He should be the front runner for every major award, you know, that's out there in Major League Baseball. Everybody's going to be talking about him. The spotlight's going to be on him. The spotlight's going to be on the Royals going in to next season as well because of how good they're playing this year. And they're kind of, you know, ahead of the curve, you know, a little bit for where people thought they were going to be. But, you know, Bobby Witt right now is playing such good baseball that people are really, truly forgetting how good Vinny Pasquantino is playing right now, right? Like leading the league in RBI since the All-Star break. 13th sack fly of the season yesterday, tying the Royals record in franchise history with George Brett for the most sacrifice flies in one season, and we still have a month and a half to go, you know, in that season. Vinny Pasquantino is going to break that record. That's, and Salvador Perez is having himself one hell of a season right now, a Hall of Fame catcher. Bobby Witt is performing so well that he's even taking the attention of other guys who are performing well. That's the prime of his career right now. We have entered the prime of Bobby Witt. How long will it last? Probably about a decade, I would guess. Right now, it's baseball that you got talent like this. Hopefully, it lasts you 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, definitions of prime can be different. I think that's acceptable. I would say Mahomes for me entered it the year they went and lost to Tampa Bay. That's when I feel like he had the league figured out. Like the first year was great, and then when they went on their first Super Bowl run, I was like, okay, he's starting to just be like more of a magician than anything. And then all of a sudden, it was like, okay, now he's seen the league twice. He's still here. He's still dominant, and he's still an MVP. And I was like, all right, this guy might now be entering his prime at 24, 25, whatever it was.
But he never slowed down in that first year. Like, nobody was ever able to make an adjustment to Patrick Mahomes in that first year.
They hadn't seen it before.
They said, oh, the second season, they're going to make adjustments. He's not going to be able to play as good as second year. He was just as good. They won a Super Bowl. Nobody's been able to figure out Patrick Mahomes. And so that's why, for me, his whole career has been a prime. I mean, it's just been a wild ride that is unique and different. And it's okay to have exceptions to these rules. I know in sports, we like to be black and white, but there are certain guys that go into this gray area. I think Bobby Witt may be one of them. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. I mean, there's a handful of guys. CJ Stroud may be another one of those guys that kind of falls into that gray area, depending on what he does this season. So there's guys out there that it's okay to say they've been in their prime since the minute they stepped on the field. Some guys are just better than the game. And I think right now we're watching Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr. as two players that are just better than the game right now.
And that's what's crazy about Bobby Witt Jr., because you say that about Patrick Mahomes, where it's like you would think that pitchers know what not to throw to Bobby Witt Jr., yet
still hitting 350, and it's August 19th.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is now what pitchers are trying to throw to Bobby Witt Jr., he's knocking out of the ballpark. Yeah. We talked about that home run last week that was up around his eyes, and when he hit that out of the ballpark, a buddy of mine who's a scout in baseball sent me a message. He goes, "Oh, crap." I'm like, what do you mean, oh, crap? He goes, that was Bobby Witt's kryptonite. Like, all the scouts knew, and everybody knew the book on Bobby Witt was you throw him a high fastball, he was going to swing, and he wasn't going to hit it. The fact that he put that son of a gun out of the ballpark put more fear into Major League Baseball than anything Bobby Witt has ever done, because the pitch that everybody knew and thought that they could get him out with was now being mashed 425 feet over the fence. And that home run was against Minnesota the other day, made everybody's heart sink around baseball going, well, damn, we can't do anything now to get this guy out, because that was a purpose pitch up around the eyes. That was a get him out type of pitch. Mm-hmm. And he put it over the fence. And when you're putting that ball over the fence, that's supposed to be the pitch that gets you out. I mean, what are you supposed to do now to Bobby Witt Jr.? There's just no way around him. So, you know, I just think right now we're watching a guy that's got all kinds of, you know, talent that is just exploding right now and is doing everything right. It's magical.
Speaking of magic.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelsey's got it for the first down.
Well, they talked about it in practice this week, and Mahomes even talked about the fact that he said Andy wants him to do it in a game. Well, guess what? Here it is.
So that was the play. Don't need to play the whole audio again. The only thing that's impressive is the pop of the crowd.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelsey's.
That's a 50,000 people crowd in an exhibition game. Preseason.
Yeah.
So he goes behind the back. And it's insane to me, because really that and Xavier Worthy, which we'll dive into later, were about the only things that really kind of made sense. And the other thing that also doesn't make sense is apparently Mahomes was pissed. Did you follow up on this? Because I was kind of like,
Are you buying that, though?
No, I'll tell you my theory on this. Here's Mahomes, then I'll play you Travis.
Yeah, I mean, long story short, Travis didn't run the route he was supposed to run, and then it was kind of a behind-the-back pass, kind of because I was mad. I was pissed off at Travis. He was supposed to run a flat route. I don't know if you can hear me on the broadcast. I'm yelling at him, and then he doesn't run it. So out of spite, I do a behind-the-back pass, but now it's going to be a highlight.
Oh, that's awesome, because you just improvised it. Is that what you're telling us? Is this all improv?
100%. That's what I've been trying to say it to everybody. It can't be planned. It's got to be just naturally happening, kind of in the groove of things. And so I actually forgot about it until halftime. Someone actually brought it up to me. And it wasn't like I planned that at all, or it wasn't a called play. It just kind of happened.
So he's pissed at Travis Kelce. He says it wasn't a planned play. It just kind of happened. So in spite, he threw it behind his back.
Right.
Then, of course, Chiefs reporter Matt McMullen then goes and interviews.
It wasn't a play. No, it was a play. It was a first down. You know, he's got the voice thing. And so he kind of mumbled out the play. I couldn't hear it. I was walking up to the line. I was like trying to decipher what he was saying. Before I knew it, he snapped the ball. And and then I kind of saw him out of my peripheral run to the sideline. So I was trying to go help my guy out. By the time I looked over there, he was already in mid-form, like a photo on a sports card, throwing the ball to me. So it was just, I guess, right place at the right time.
So, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it was a fake play?
No.
You believe it was a design play?
I think, but I very much so.
Yeah,
very much so. So this is this is my script play for the Fescoisms.
Yeah,
and I think this is foreshadowing. I think this is because you got the little Travis Kelce on the sideline, right? So hear me out. Mm-hmm. He did he's got the whole little, you know, right? What happened earlier in this preseason, Bob, with the Vegas Raiders? They dressed up a Kermit the Frog puppet, right? They dressed up a Kermit the Frog puppet.
I thought they named Gardner Minshew as their starter and were real excited about that.
I actually am, because I love Gardner Minshew, and he's basically like the kids these days, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that's a good example. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so Kelsey's kind of like, what do you mean?
He wasn't a play.
He wasn't doing that on purpose. And then Mahomes plays it off and stays kind of coy. And he's like, nah, I was pissed because Travis was supposed to hit a flat route. He comes around, and then all of a sudden he goes out of my bag without a spite. That ain't it, people. That ain't what's happening. What's happening is they're going to run that play against the Vegas Raiders, and then they're going to tell everybody, we tried to let them know it was coming, and they're going to call that play the Geppetto, because that's the puppet master.
The puppet master.
It's going to be called Mr.
Geppetto.
Boy, you've
been working with me too long.
And they're going to throw that play against the Vegas Raiders on like a 3rd-and-1 to seal a game. And then at the end of the game, they're going to say, we tried to show him it was coming. Maybe next time don't dress up a puppet and call it Patrick Mahomes and it's Kermit the Frog, because that play was called Geppetto, the puppet master.
Yeah, see, I like the way you're thinking. I like that conspiracy theory a lot. I want to buy into that conspiracy theory. I think it's really good. I do 100% believe that play was planned. I mean, I thought Jeff Schwartz's tweet was really funny about it, where he says, I love this bit where they pretend it wasn't a design play. It was executed too perfectly to not be a design play, right? So it's clearly a design play. I think they're saying it's not a design play because it was probably one of those plays that Andy Reid said, don't you ever effing do again. You know, like in Major League, nice play, Dorn, don't ever effing do it again, right? Like, I think that's the type of play that was, where they've been wanting to do this, wanting to do this, wanting to do this, wanting to do this, and Andy wouldn't let him. And so in the huddle, they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to act like I'm mad at you that you ran the wrong route. I'm going to throw it behind my back, and we're going to try to play it off like you're hiding from your parents, right? Like, I think that's the type of move that it was. They've wanted to run this play, and I don't think we're ever going to see it again. I think that play is done, because once you run that play, the best part of running that play is now people are going to be planning for that play and thinking about that play. And that's what I've said over the years for Patrick Mahomes. When you beat teams, the Chiefs beat teams on Monday and Tuesday, because the coaching staff is now going to sit around for Baltimore, for Cincinnati, for Atlanta, for Buffalo, for all these teams, and they're all going to have to put that play in and think about ways to defend that play, and they're going to waste time defending that play, and that play is never going to see the light of day ever again. But you're making people waste their time. The Chiefs are beating teams in preseason games by doing stuff like that to make the opposition prepare for it.
I love it.
It was so fun.
And the fact, could you imagine a sold out stadium on a Thursday, like on a Sunday night against the Raiders or something like that, and that sort of reaction happens? I mean, it's just, you finally got it, folks.
Yeah, you got the behind the back play. Nice play in a game. They've been wanting to do that for years. They got an opportunity to do it in a preseason game. They took full advantage of it. They went to the sideline. Andy says, nice play, don't ever effing do it again. And that's where we stand with that play. But now everybody's got to prepare for it, because you're putting this stuff on tape. And like, that's one of the benefits of the preseason for me. Anyway, if you're the Chiefs, do stuff like that. Make people think about it and make them waste their time as they're getting ready for you. Because I don't think that play sees the light of day again, but every team's going to prepare for it now.
Here's a better call.
Long two, short three at the Lion 33. 3-0 Kansas City. Steele gets it. No, they're going to fake it to him. They get it to Kelce on that RPO fake. Great run. And he throws it behind his back. Mahomes has been practicing this at camp. Everybody's wanting him to do it. He just did it for 9 yards. He did one at the goal line at St. Joseph that was absolutely perfect, as Mahomes did it again just on a point. There's most quarterbacks that couldn't throw that forward with that much accuracy. As he goes behind the back, and a gain of 8 yards to Kelce.
I mean, seriously, when Mitch says that right there, think about that for a second. There are quarterbacks in this league right now that have been named starters, like Caleb Williams, who couldn't throw that ball forward normal as well as Patrick Mahomes threw it behind the back on a dime to Travis Kelce.
Mac, Bob, and Dusty, it's time to ask yourself, who do you really believe can do this exact thing this year? Because I don't think the list is very long. This is 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. There is a really good-looking morning out there. A little pink skies.
Dusty, he's an expert on pink skies.
Damn right. There it is, yeah.
Beautiful sunrise out there this morning, fellas.
It is gorgeous, yeah.
Not going to lie, it looks great. Got a big week ahead. Got some good weather up here. Got a big night tonight. We'll dive into it. Throwing out the first pitch. You're doing something as
I'm
well.
I'm doing the condiment race. Yeah. Got a text from my friend Marge, who's one of the ushers out there. She goes, please pick ketchup. I'm like, I don't know. I was going to go with mayo.
It's you and who else?
Me and Cody and Nate Taylor. Mm. I like my chances of winning this thing. Somebody said, are you going to go out there and try to win it? I go, well, if I'm racing against a kid, I can't be like a bully. You know, you got to let the kid win, right?
Yeah.
But this is Cody, who probably is going to take this really serious, right? Like, Cody's going to want this thing, right?
He was talking about it on a Friday. This will be his third time racing. He's never won. He's excited.
I mean, he's excited. He's never won.
He's determined.
Okay. Should I let him win just to give him that joy and feel of winning something?
I'm just going to let him know. I'm going to let you know, Bob. If you let him win, you are throwing him a low-hanging fruit to make a song.
Oh,
am so I? That's any motivation for you.
Okay. That's a good point.
Please run fast.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think if I like Nate a lot, so maybe I'll let Nate win this thing.
Apparently Nate was a track athlete.
Yeah, and you could just be dirty, and you could just shrug Cody on the ground.
Well, that's the other thing.
If I'm a limit, he's out. Nate, take it away, bud.
That's the other thing. Do you do it like so it's, you know, a display so it makes, you know, TV? I'm just going to run the race. I'm gonna try to stay as far away from Cody and Nate as possible so I don't run into them. I've never run in a hot dog suit before.
Also avoid Randall Simon.
Yeah, exactly. He's not still playing, is he? Oh my God.
That's one of the best. I don't know if Matt got that reference.
That's probably not.
That's your decades. 20
years ago.
So a long time ago, there was a race was it Pittsburgh Pirates?
I thought it was Milwaukee and they were doing the sausage, or it was Pirates and they were doing the pierogi race. I don't remember. But
a guy named Randall Simon was basically a subpar power hitter journeyman. Just
like
random,
one of those guys that you thought was always going to hit a home run, but never did.
Don't understand why. Decided to grab a baseball bat in the dugout, and as one of the mascots came running by the dugout, he just hit him with the baseball bat.
It knocked him down with the bat.
Right in the torso. Like, no idea why.
I think it was a girl, if I'm not mistaken. Like, just for no reason, just took the bat out and whacked the sausage, man.
Dude, no idea why.
Like, Randall Simon whacked the sausage right in the dugout. It was unbelievable. Like, he just, like, over the rail, just boom. And down goes the sausage.
Yeah, I never understood that.
So who whacks sausage in the dugout, you know? This is unbelievable.
CC Sabathia.
You think Quattrero may try to knock me down or, you know?
No, because I think he likes this. Okay. He gave us a new song on the cusp. Just did it. But I want to get into this because we asked the question of who you actually believe. Do you think you can count on one hand who's an actual Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, I think I can, actually. Yeah, a legit Super Bowl. Not somebody who you think could potentially win the Super Bowl, but like just like real-life Super Bowl contenders.
And before you give me your list, I bring this up because Joe Shad said that he was asked if he thought from Tua if the Dolphins were Super Bowl contenders. After I shared Ross's comments, I said, yes, Miami is one of about 10 contenders. Miami's rankings in 2023. Regular season wins, 5th. Points scored, 2nd. Fewest points allowed, 22nd. Point differential, 5th. But yet, 6 of their losses came against contenders.
Yeah, right. You're not a contender.
We're great. Like, the Chiefs were 11-6.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins were 11-6. The Dolphins lost the Chiefs twice, and the second game wasn't really close. And the first game, however you want to look at it, close score, but it was
not
really
a close game. Yeah.
Not a close game.
You felt like you were in control until the last 2 minutes, and that was an excruciating final 2 minutes of a football game.
And Shad basically reminds me of, and I think he's a good dude. I don't have any problem with him, but I think he's just one of those things on the spot where he's like, actually, if I think there's, you know, teams that can make it, 10 teams that are legit Super Bowl contenders, not Super Bowl winners, contenders that can actually go to the Super Bowl. And I know people can look at this and be like, Dusty, Bob, anybody could get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. We've seen this happen before. Not really.
No, not
Detroit
really.
Detroit still hadn't made it.
Right.
Right? The Rams, who people think still haven't made it. So anyways, you think you just have 5? Because I think I can only name 5 that I think actually could contend to be a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I think it's obviously the Chiefs. It's obviously the 49ers are up there. I'm not ready to say Cincinnati yet, because I don't know how healthy Joe Burrow is. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to say Buffalo yet, because I don't know what that, you know, bleep show is going to look like this year up there. Miami can't beat good teams, so they're off the list right now. Green Bay is going to be interesting to see year 2 of Jordan Love. You know, he caught fire last year. Then they paid him. Like, a lot of pressures on Jordan Love this year. Philadelphia, I'd like to put into that category, but I just don't know if Nick Sirianni is going to be a coach that melts down, or if he's a coach that's going to kind of turn it around and get it back to where they were some 2 years ago. So, I mean, I think when you look around this league, in my opinion, they're probably, I would say, the Chiefs. I would say San Francisco are your two legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think Green Bay, Cincinnati can kind of be in that ancillary category right now, along with Philadelphia. I just don't think right now there are that many legitimate teams that you know can roll through Kansas City or roll through San Francisco and upset either one of those teams at home or even on the road, as we saw with the Chiefs, to potentially get to the Super Bowl. And I keep Baltimore off that list as much as I would like to put them on there, because Lamar still hasn't proven that he can truly win when it matters the most in the postseason.
You ready for the kid to piss you off here?
Yeah.
Mac, what do you got? Probably 10.
You
probably
think the Bears are a legit Super Bowl contender?
No, not
yet. But
see,
this is where the age difference is. The age differences we've talked about a lot kind of comes in.
40s, 30s, 20s.
Right. I got 20 years out of you. I've seen the show before, right?
I saw Eli Manning win as a wild card. They won nine games.
They won nine games. They've won nine games. But you didn't consider them at the beginning of the season a legitimate Super Bowl team. And I will tell you about that season, because that was the year my wife and I got married and we had to take a marriage class. And I go, do it after the regular season because the Giants aren't going to the playoffs this year. Lo and behold, they went and won the Super Bowl. And I'm sitting in a class learning how to balance a checkbook.
Hey, send me that class. I may need to take that.
No, I wouldn't. No.
He wouldn't wish that on his enemies.
No.
All right, my contenders. Green Bay, yep. Including them. I'll go NFC. So Green Bay, Philadelphia, Detroit. I'm going to include the Rams since San Francisco. So Green Bay,
but
San Francisco,
Philly. But
you've
got a Stafford injury now.
Yeah, but Stafford's going to be fine by the end of the year.
We'll see. You know, going into the start of the season, I don't know. That kind of concerned me over the weekend. Like, Matthew Stafford's got a hamstring injury. I'm like, oh, God.
He's always got something.
Who's their backup in L.A.?
Yeah, yeah.
Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, that's right. Stetson Bennett is, yeah.
And then in the AFC, I've got KC, Buffalo, Baltimore, and the New York Jets.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
the Jets can't even stay out of their own way.
That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for it.
I mean, the Jets, that is a franchise mess right
Nobody
now.
Nobody has Houston. I'm surprised by that.
I think Houston's slump. Kind of in that same category of, I think they're going to win the division, but are they going to take that next step, or are they going to take that step back? I believe that they're going to take that next step. I believe in their coach. I believe in their quarterback. But you still got to see it, right? Like, legit Super Bowl contenders, it's hard to go out there and win the Super Bowl. It's hard to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. There are teams we'd like to throw out there, but I think, you know, we've talked about it. There's more parity in Major League Baseball than there is in the NFL. Every year, it's kind of the same teams, and then maybe a last place team bounces up and wins the division and gets in and that kind of stuff. Really, going into an NFL season, you kind of know who the legitimate Super Bowl contenders are. I still think it's Kansas City and everybody else, but San Francisco, I think I'd throw a bone to as well, even though Brock Purdy isn't playing well. People are concerned about that now.
Oh, gosh. And that conversation's got a little bit of juice left to squeeze in it. We'll get back to it a little bit later, but
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bobby Witt Jr. and George Brett, another stat that's going to continue to keep coming up. It's almost like Mahomes and everybody in the NFL. Yes, I have once again comped those two guys that play in the same parking lot. Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LipMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Crayons, crowns, whatever you want to call them, ideas for the future. We all have one. Bob Mack, Dusty, this is 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.